welcome to Live Connect with Counties, me Penny Curley, on our third day in Psalm 27. So far, David has declared in this psalm that the Lord is his light and his saviour and his stronghold, and he will not be afraid, even if he's surrounded by vicious and advancing enemies. But now, in verse 4, the tone changes for me. David's been looking around him and making public declarations of confidence, and now he becomes more private, more personal, more reflective. If you've got it in front of you, this chapter, this psalm, read it with me. I'm going to read it from my Bible today. Psalm 27 of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. Verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me, and at a sacred tent I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me, but do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me. God, my saviour, though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. Wait for the Lord. I shall be reading it every morning. no apologies for that. Because I think the more we read something, the deeper it sinks into our consciousness. And as we're looking at it and investigating it, more of it begins to make sense and fit together. So I hope that's okay. In verse 4 now, we get a glimpse of David's passion. The one thing he seeks and the one thing he asks for. What's the one thing that you seek? And the one thing that you desire above all else? One of my favourite musicals is Fiddler on the Roof, partly because my cousin and I acted in it and we were at school together. I've never forgotten him singing in the role of Tevye. And particularly singing the song If I Were a Rich Man, which everybody seems to know. During those performances, though, I noticed tucked away in that song, sort of right in the middle, a verse that says this: if I were rich, I'd have the time that I lack to sit in the synagogue and pray, and maybe have a seat by the eastern wall. And I'd discuss the holy books with the learned men 7 hours a day. And that would be the sweetest thing of all. Have you ever noticed that part of the song? In my view of the character of Tevye changed completely when I noticed that. I'd always loved the ongoing honest, friendly conversation with God that I'd observed in that play between him and his Lord. But now I glimpse for the first time his heart's desire. to be in the temple and to be praying and spending hours discussing God's word with others. I think perhaps the writers of his character had just been reading this psalm. Teviot himself would certainly have known these words. Verse 4 again, "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." Do we long to be in the Lord's presence, to spend time in his house and in his company, to really search for him? I love words, and I discovered a new one a few days ago. It's the word latibule. Never heard it before, but it means a special place. To quote the dictionary, cozy, safe, hidden away, somewhere a soul can cocoon themselves and find comfort and solace necessary to keep sanity intact and the heart strong. Do you have a latibule? It might be a physical place, somewhere in your house or your church or your garden, or I don't know, somewhere in your community. It reminds me of the film War Room, which is worth watching if you haven't seen it, and the lady turns her walk-in closet into a prayer room. I haven't got a walk-in closet, but I am a cleft girl. I like to have a solid wall behind me and a sight line to some sky and some visual prompts. I've been meaning to make myself a portable wall corner so that I can move it, take it with me wherever I'm going. I haven't sorted that out yet. Certainly not enough to show you. Maybe you're thinking of a place right now. Maybe you're in it, or perhaps you are despairing of ever finding a place that you can go to and seek the Lord's face. Well, let me encourage you and possibly convict you, as I have myself, with this extract from an article from about John and Charles Wesley's mum, Susanna Wesley, by Jackie Green and Lauren Green McAfee. "If a passing stranger walking through the village, rural village of Epworth, England, on any given day between 1700 and 1720, had peered through the window of the home of the rector of the local Anglican church, he might have caught sight of something quite strange. Depending on the time of day, this observer might have seen a woman sitting in a chair with her kitchen apron pulled up over her head, while 10 children read, studied, or played all around her." You might have thought in despair. But no, even amid the most complex and busy years of her life as a mother, Susanna still scheduled 2 hours a day for fellowship with God and time in his word, and she adhered to that schedule faithfully. But the challenge was finding a place of privacy in a house filled to overflowing with children. Mother Wesley's solution to this was to bring her Bible to her favourite chair and to throw her long apron up over her head, forming a sort of tent. And this became something akin to the tent of meeting, the tabernacle in the days of Moses in the Old Testament. Every person in the household, from the smallest toddler to the oldest domestic helpers, knew well to respect this signal. When Susanna was under the apron, she was with God and not to be disturbed, except in the case of direst emergency. There in the privacy of her little tent, she interceded for her husband and children and plumbed the deep mysteries of God in the scriptures. This holy discipline equipped her with a thorough and profound knowledge of the Bible, which she passed on to her children. Wow, I think I need a bigger apron. We all need a place of refuge with God. Not necessarily a physical space, but a time set aside to be in God's presence. For David, it may have been the physical temple or tabernacle, or it may have been his internal retreat into communion with God. But it was central to his continuing trust and relationship with God. Can you find a way to gaze on the beauty of the Lord, a space to seek him? It's easy with new babies, isn't it? Just to spend ages, time wasting, as I used to call it, just looking at them, gazing at their incredible presence. But do we ever give ourselves the opportunity to do this with God? Can we do it? Can you earnestly seek God at some point during the day? I don't mean just worship as part of what's presented to you on a Sunday morning in the service, but I mean you taking responsibility, me taking responsibility for my own relationship with God, just as David actively sought God every day. Choose to look for him yourself in a private space, whether that's inside you or a special space that you have set aside to do that. Be creative if it helps. Involve music or poetry, being in nature or listening to other people's comments, reading them. Just make sure that God's word is in there and you make time to pray. Look at the effect it had on David's perspective, on how he viewed his day of trouble. This is the whole point. Verse 5, for in the day of trouble, for. So in other words, because I've done this, for in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high upon a rock. And verse 6, then, because I've done this, my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord, even though I'm surrounded by enemies. When the difficult days come, it will be your safe place. If you have established your latibule, you can find refuge there on the darkest and most fear-inducing days. More than a refuge, in fact. David says that he will sacrifice with shouts of joy. He'll sing and make music. It will be a place of rejoicing, and you will be lifted up, placed above your worries on a high rock with a fresh, godly perspective. Let's pray. Father God, please put the desire in our hearts to make space for you in our busy days and in our quiet ones too, so that when troubles come, we will find in you a place of safety and rest, where we can encounter your perspective on the world and life and meet with you intimately. Amen.